You're tuned in to RBLR, the home of Tampa Bay's Rebeller Sports.
4 seconds left.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to RBLR Lightning. As always, my name is Jake Rigger. Alongside me, it's Joe Zamataro. It's Matt Dannon. Guys, welcome back to the show. We got an action-packed episode for you all once again. It's going to be a ton of fun. Welcome to everybody in here who's joining with us live. Welcome in. If you're not with here this live and you're watching later on a recorded side, don't forget to follow us at RBLR Sports, at RBLR Lightning, so you don't miss out on these live episodes, so you can join us the conversation and talk with us when we talk about these games. But first and foremost, guys, how you doing today?
Doing pretty well. Hit that notification bell. It's fun getting all the people that are chatting and the live broadcast with us. That's the sound. It makes for a lot of fun to jump in that chat room. But I'm doing pretty well. Glad that Christmas is over. Hope you guys had a good Christmas yourselves. It's always a busy time of year, so things start to get regular after this week.
I'm glad to be activated from the IR slot. I'm feeling a bit better. I might sound still a little bit under the weather, but I'm glad to be back with you guys. Hope you guys also enjoyed your Christmases as well.
Matt, you really weren't really activated from the IR spot because you were here basically the whole time during the last show. Comment section from last time. No, we kid. We are glad to have you back here with us in person this time around. But just like Matt, you guys, again, as Joe mentioned, jump in those live comments, throw them down there. We'll get them up on screen. We'd love to hear what you guys have to say. We got to talk about the two games Lightning played this week, of course, against the Rangers and the Canadiens. We look at our three stars of the week ahead for the Lightning, and so much more. It's going to be a ton of fun. But with that said, I say let's jump right into it, guys. We got two games to talk about. One very, very nice game, and one maybe not so much when it comes to at least the wins and losses category. First one, though, against New York Rangers. Lightning looking to continue on their fantastic month of December, and they did just that, scoring 6 goals against New York Rangers. They win this one by a final score of 6-2. You look on the shots on goal category, and you're thinking, oh boy, this game might have gotten ugly with the Rangers. 44 shots on goal, Lightning with only 25. But guys, as they often say, you rather have the quality over the quantity, and that's exactly what happened in this game for the Lightning.
This was definitely a fun one to watch from the go. It did get a little bit dicey at times, and you saw some really good pushback from the Rangers. But I mean, the Rangers are a full sell team for the trade deadline coming up. They are dead last in the Metro. Only Buffalo has more points or has fewer points than them in the East. So they're really struggling this year. So this is definitely a team that I'm glad that the Lightning were able to beat, because it seems like it's also the...
Man, Joe's topics were so good that we lost him there for a second. Hopefully he gets such quickly.
A beautiful frame.
Look at that. Perfect. Right when he was going. Joe's internet probably went down. But I think I kind of know what he was getting at there with, and Matt, you brought this up before a little while ago at this point. The Lightning tend to play down to their competition where, they're playing a bad team. They don't play so great. And again, I don't know if this game was perfect because he gave up 44 shots on net. Huge shout out to Andre Vasilevsky, who was fantastic in this game. You score 6 goals, you're doing something right.
Yeah, this game was far from perfect. I'm not going to say we weren't the better team or anything like that. It was a really interesting game, but, 44 shots is a lot of shots to give up. And thankfully, we did have Andre Vasilevsky back there making some really nice and timely saves. But I also feel like a lot of them weren't very dangerous shots. Going into this game, I was thinking, too, I hope this isn't New York's get-right game, because I still think they're underperforming. As much as I dislike the New York Rangers, they're a better team than this.
They are very much underperforming. There's no question about that.
Yeah. They are a better team than what we're seeing. Don't get me wrong. I'm enjoying every moment of this. I do not like the Rangers a bit, but they need to be playing better. And the Lightning, thankfully, took advantage of just the horrible, horrible team chemistry and just the lack of effort on the back end. Like, you know, their forwards are still getting it done, but their defense is just in shambles right now. Adam Fox and Keandre Miller getting rid of Jacob Trouba, as much as I don't like him, that seems like a terrible move, you know, in hindsight. It has helped nothing at all. It's actually probably kind of hurt them a little bit even too. I don't know what's going on with them, but they're in a world of hurt right now. But that's fine, because it ended up as a Lightning win and a really fun, dominant win, despite what the shot counter looks like. It was a pretty, fair and pretty even game throughout most of it. Just a pretty wild second period in favor of the Lightning. And then, I don't know, again, just the first and third period kind of got away from them, but you had a big enough buffer that it wasn't a huge issue.
Yeah, and, you know, shots usually, you can look at a game and say, oh, this team's out shooting the other. That usually means they're playing better, but shots don't always tell the whole story. And again, that goes back to that quality over quantity thing. There's a couple of fun points from this game. I wanted to do a comment real quick here from Zachary, who says, hoping the Rangers get right for the next 4 hours or so. Oh, they have a game playing.
They're playing the Panthers.
They're playing the Panthers. There you go. Yes, I agree. Let's hope that this is their get right game. Hey, Joe is back. Joe, welcome back.
I got a computer that's being held together by duck gum and bubble tape. Well, sorry about that, guys.
No, we're glad to have you back in here, and it wasn't anything other major issue, but yeah, so just saying that, you know, the Rangers playing the Panthers tonight, so yeah, hopefully they do get right tonight, but they've been a mess. I do quickly want to point out a few fun things. The Lightning scored power play goals and shorthanded goals in this game. Ryan McDonough with the first shorthanded goal, which about blew the roof off of Amalie Arena.
That was also his first goal of the season for him.
That is correct. It's the first time the Lightning have scored two shorthanded and two power play goals in the same game. So impressive stuff when it comes to special teams. That was really nice. And of course, you had the fans chanting Vasilevskiy's better, or Vasi's better in the crowd, which goes all the way back to when the Lightning played the Rangers in the playoffs and the Rangers fans were chanting Igor's better, a little back and forth. The Lightning Rangers fans, always been a fun little thing.
Just talking one more moment about that game, though, you guys are saying, I could hear you even though I couldn't couldn't participate, about the number of shots against. And, you know, I agree with you, Matt. A lot of them were from the perimeter shots. They were low percentage scoring chances. It was a very good example of a bend but don't break. And I think, considering that they knew that they were coming up against a back-to-back, a pretty good job of shutting down a team while having a lead and, you know, just allowing the Rangers to work perimeter, try to your best not to get them into the middle. Not that, you know, they didn't allow that several times. Vasi definitely came up huge with a few of those saves, especially one of those right pad saves that he had, like two or three, I can't remember who was in that type, but two or three leg pad saves right there. But they did a really good job of defending. And, you know, we've criticized in the past about them being able to close out games. And I think that bend not break, and the way that they did it, they did a good job of that against the Rangers.
I'll take it, but even still, in like the first period was really rough, and we still came out on top late in that first period. It still wasn't perfect by any stretch. Like, I don't know if I'm in full agreeance of saying that we closed out that game very well. Like, I still think we're not a team that can shut it down and park the bus maybe to the same degree that you're describing right there. It wasn't perfect by any means, in my opinion. Still, it wasn't bad. I've seen worse performances this month, you know, this week. Seen worse performances from them, but it wasn't the worst, I guess.
I'm not saying that they parked the bus at all, because when you do that, what that means is you're really skating hard against their players, and you're preventing zone entries. When you park the bus, you're making them skate the full length of the ice over and over and over again, where it seemed like they got entries. Rangers got entries. We just kind of flexed a lot, but not enough that it, you know, that Vasi was exposed to the point that we lost that game. I think that a game like that, you know, when you have that big of a lead, you can take, you know, certain liberties defensively, a little bit at least. I mean, that's my take from it.
A couple other comments here I want to get to quickly from this game. Daniel saying, Rangers aren't getting right this season. They need to clean house. Hey, look, they've already started to trade a couple of pieces, or at least one piece in. I'm blanking on his name right now. Guys, help me
Truba
out.
Truba and Kako.
Kako was the one I think it was thinking of, but yes,
yeah,
both of them. So, yeah, it kind of feels that way, that's the way they're headed. But also Daniel saying giving up shorthanded goals is becoming a real problem this season for the Lightning. So, yeah, interesting. They did give up a shorthanded goal late in this game. I don't know.
No. I'm going to disagree. I may disagree with Dan. We rarely don't see eye to eye on things, it seems, but I don't think it's becoming a problem by any means. Yes, there was the game against the Panthers that got them completely deflated when they gave up two shorthanded goals in one power play. But that's kind of, I think, more the exception than the rule. It's never great to give up a shorthanded goal, but this is a Lightning team that has such a powerful power play that they typically, I think, they can bounce back. And it's not like we saw, what was that? It wasn't last season, but maybe the season before, where it was just they were struggling bad with that, and you know, one player in particular that would, you know, kind of play defensively on the power play.
Who?
What?
So I got a couple of stats here to throw out you guys. So they have given up six shorthanded goals so far this season. Last year they gave up six shorthanded goals the whole year. So they've already matched that total from last year. The year before that, which I believe is the year you guys are referring to, 2022-2023, they gave up 11 shorthanded goals. So it's
half of them were in the last week. Half of them were literally in the last week, up to the point that we are in time right now. Half of them were in the last week. Those really hurt against Florida, but it's completely inconsequential for the Rangers one.
Yeah, that one wasn't. I think the one from the Panthers definitely makes it seem a lot, because it was two in the same power play. Like, that one just makes it hurt and makes it so recent too. I do think it's up a little bit, and you'd like to see that number come down. I wouldn't say it's a major problem. Fun fact, the most shorthanded goals Lightning ever gave up in a season is 20. That was way back in 1993. Yeah. Oh boy, it's not been that bad. So that's always a good thing. But something to keep your eye on, maybe a little bit. I don't think it's a major problem. It's definitely not as good as last year. Obviously, they've already matched that total. But
what softens it all too is that the amount of shorthanded goals for. I think we're tied for first or second in the league for shorthanded goals for. Like, the unit of Cirelli and Hagel together, that penalty killing unit, is one of the best in the league. Not even just the fact that they're scoring shorties, but just how they defend a power play in general as well. So I think that definitely makes things a little bit more stomachable, giving up. And like you're saying, Joe, three of them came within this last week. So it's not something we should look too much into, but it definitely does make me feel a lot better that they're going the other way too. And we scored two shorthanded goals in this.
Bro, that is insane when Cirelli and Hagel are on the PK and one of them gets the puck. I get more excited for them getting the puck on the PK than typically a standard breakout, because I feel like they they just have that much more of an opportunity to score, and it's been amazing.
It's been great. Those guys have been fantastic, and the PK struggled a little bit early on, but they've kind of found their way, and they're scoring shorthanded goals, which definitely helps make up for some of those.
And briefly, the McDonagh goal, Cirelli was in on, and I think maybe it was even Hagel that had gone back door, for an option for a pass. So it was the two of them that really helped facilitate that shorthanded goal as well, even though McDonagh got credit for it.
And that goal, wasn't that like a 4-on-1 too, that shorty, the McDonagh goal? There was one that was just really lopsided.
3-on-1 or something like that originally, and then
depends on how you view it, yeah.
But yes. For a little bit there it was. So
well, when anytime that you've they had so many, the Rangers had so many players deep that McDonagh was in the slot and ended up stepping up with the puck. So they just allowed for that rush of Lightning players to come up the ice, and McDonagh found pay dirt.
Penalty kill's been off to a hot start as of late, and hopefully that can continue. Unfortunately, the Lightning's winning streak did not continue as they got set to take on the Montreal Canadiens. Jonas Johansson in net for this one. He had been playing really well as of late coming into this game. Unfortunately, this one doesn't go his way. Not too much his fault when you look at the final score. 5-2 was the final. So he gives up a couple of goals, but this was just all around a tough game for the Lightning. They really didn't look like themselves. It is a back-to-back that's a little bit tougher, but they did not play the game that they wanted to play. And the Lightning talked about this, by the way, in post-game, even after the Rangers game. This is kind of coupled with both of them. They said they have not played their game in the last two. They came away with the win against the Rangers because they scored six goals, but they have not played the way they wanted to. So they lose this one 5-2. They give them another 37 shots on goal, a little less than the Rangers game, but not great. The Lightning got close a couple of times, but they cannot pull off the victory in this one as Montreal scores a couple late, a couple empty netters to put this one away.
I got to give credit where it's due. Montreal's been playing pretty good recently. You know, they came off of a back-to-back as well. They shut out the Florida Panthers 4-0. Also, let it be known, they've been shut out four times this month. That's your defending champions.
Meow.
But Montreal, they've been playing really good recently. Ever since they got Patrick Laine back from injury, even though he is like the king of all power play merchants right now, all eight of his goals have come on the power play. And they proved it last night. They were playing feisty. Like, they were going in every corner and finishing their checks. They definitely out-physicaled the Lightning. They were a really good forechecking team, it seemed. And they defended pretty well, too. It didn't seem like the Lightning had much of an answer for pretty much anything that Montreal was throwing at them. I'm not sure if our guys were just feeling lazy and tired, used up all their good luck in that New York game or whatever it was. But I have to give credit to Montreal. They played a good game. And Sam Montembeau, their goaltender, also had himself a pretty good game too. There were a lot of, you know, 10 bell saves that he did make.
That Cooch one from the side, the point pass across.
Oh yeah. And I still think we got outplayed that game. I don't think, you know, if you simulate that game 100 times, we deserve to win that game. But man, you got to give credit where it's due with their goalie. He played really, really well that game. So I just want to get that out of the way first.
Yeah, I mean, that's completely fair. There were so many great saves that could have been like tide-changing goals where you build on that momentum. It really did feel like you're saying that the Canadiens were got a surge from beating the Panthers the night before, where the Lightning, you know, didn't have quite as much of a convincing win, right? They played, like I said, they bent quite a bit in order to get through the game. I don't like the guy just because of his style of play, and probably more that he's not on our team. But Brendan Gallagher, like, he's one of those guys that I think I would love him if he was on this team. You know, after this game, you know, really evaluating, he works his ass off. He tries so hard all the time, and he does, you know, he gets into dirty areas. He's not that huge of a guy. Actually, I'm going to pull up to see how big he is. He's a relatively small player. Yeah, he's 5'9". Yeah, he's a small player. And he's willing to, you know, stick his nose, you know, right in the crease. And he ended up getting an empty net goal. And I remember thinking in that game, like, man, he's really worked hard. If there's anyone that deserved an empty net goal on the Canadiens, I mean, I feel like he really did for the effort that he put in all night. Even though, you know, he's not like a prolific goal scorer. He's like a kind of a rat player that stirs stuff up. But, you know, I think he'd be pretty good to have on the Bolts if he's
a poor man. He's a poor man's Marchand. I've always been a fan of his game. I mean, he is, you know, he is a rat.
I like the comparison, yeah.
You know, he doesn't put up the numbers that Marchand does or other just pesky players do, but yeah, he's somebody who gets under your skin, and you know, he's somebody that I love to hate or hate to love type of deal. He is a really entertaining player to watch, and I hate that he is in our division too.
Couple of comments here that I want to get to quickly. This one from Ethan saying, Braden Point has been so entertaining to watch this season, and it is just fun to watch. And fun fact, he leads the league in shooting percentage at 31.9%, which is absurd, which it absolutely is, and power play goals at 11. Yes, Point has been scoring like crazy on the power play. It was Stamkos, but now with Stamkos gone, somebody else stepped up into that role, and it's been Braden Point. So, Ethan.
Ethan plays, right?
What's that?
I don't believe so.
You don't think 31%, man, 32%, like that is an incredible number. I couldn't even imagine, you know, stepping on the ice and being able to score at that sort of a rate. That's
video game
insane.
Numbers.
The number's dropping too, but his production is staying up as well, which is kind of a good sign to see, especially as a a fantasy owner. He's been amazing on my team. And it's not just the goal scoring. It's really not just the goal scoring. He's been, you know, that, like we were just talking about, that pass to Kucherov that Sam Montembeau saved. It was a beautiful, beautiful pass right across the crease that unfortunately got saved. But he's been playing phenomenally. So, yeah, good on you recognizing that, Ethan.
Yeah, no complaints from Braden Point. He's been absolutely fantastic. Daniel brings up an interesting point, which I half agree and half disagree with. But he says Gensel missing from the lineup was really noticeable, especially on the power play. I agree in the sense of Gensel missing from the lineup is definitely a big
factor. What part do you not agree with here?
I don't agree with the power play part.
The power play part, yes. That's the part that I'm a little he scored 8 goals in the power play, yes. But, you know, when you've got Kucherov, Point, Hagel, Hedman, the list goes on. I didn't notice as much of them. I mean, the power play did go 0-for-3 last night, but I don't think it was just because they didn't have Jake Gensel. Jake Gensel's more – I don't think he's really found his way on the power play quite yet. He's kind of been like a tap-in guy, get the pass from Kucherov. He's not like a Steven Stamkos that's going to sit in the circle and make that big, powerful shot. So, yes, Gensel's definitely – was missed in that game, no question, but I don't know about it much on the power play. I think that was more of the power play just wasn't on their game last night.
I mean, they also kind of shifted the power play again, and I'm not sure that it worked in their favor. A lot of that power play was being worked down to Braden Point down low, and he kept looking for options to see what he could do and moving it up. And I guess they had 3, so there's one specifically that I'm thinking about. But didn't look like it was clicking nearly as much as some of the other ones.
And who knows, even if Gensel was in the lineup, you know, the results still might be the same. I don't think he's really a mainstay on that first power play unit. You'll see him be deployed with the second unit occasionally, but I thought it was really noticeable at even strength. I didn't think that the top line was really all that noticeable very much from I know Kucherov got on the board that late in the first period or late in the second period. I can't quite remember. But I still don't think they were as dominant as they normally were when you have, you know, 59, 21, and 86 all out on the ice at the same time. Who was up there filling in? Wasn't it Nick Paul was up there?
Well, I think they might have mixed it up a couple of times. I know originally, like, lineup sheet, it was Cam Atkinson that was on the first line, which is
interesting.
Interesting choice. I think they did tried some different things. It didn't really work out. Mm-hmm. Probably some something different if it happened again. But hey, Gensel was brought in to do five on five, right?
They filled in a few people.
Okay, so but regardless, I don't think that line really was able to get their footing much at all that night. Again, I know they showed up on the score sheet, Braden Point with an assist and Kucherov with a goal, but still. That's where I saw missing Gensel the most, which, you know, it sucks, of course, but it's kind of great to also have a player that is this impactful to a lineup. You know, it sucks that he's out of it, but man, I mean, that just proves how good and how impactful of a player he was that when he's out for one single night, it's like, wow, this unit kind of looks kind of lost.
Absolutely. And I think that might be a little bit to the detriment of the Bolts, because we've seen that when any of the key players aren't playing in a game, if Kucherov's not in the game, you really notice it. If Hedman's out, you really notice it. Definitely for Point, same thing for Gensel. And God, if I'm not even going to mention his name, but there's another player that comes to mind that, kind of. If Fassie goes down, we're screwed.
Knock on wood.
It's like saying shutout while he hasn't been scored on yet. Right. But I mean, the depth isn't necessarily there to be able to rebound from those injuries. If we're healthy, we might be the best team, or at least, you know, top 4 teams in the entire league right now, which is absolutely insane to talk about.
I mean, the stats prove it. I mean, look at the goal differential for and against. I mean, we're one of the tops in the league. I'm still kind of unconvinced with the on ice play. Like, I know December was a very, very kind month to us. Excuse me. But a lot of these games were still kind of unconvincing, like this 2-game stretch right here. There were some good games, like the 4-0 shutout against the Panthers, but then also look at the game. I guess it's not really a good example. The game we lost right before that with the 2 shorthanded goals against, I thought we were the better team. But still, the stats prove that we are a contending team. You know, we're still third in the Atlantic in points percentage, I think, but boy, I mean, this could be a team to be reckoned with, you know, with everyone healthy playing, you know, the way that they can. I just hope we don't burn out a little too early.
Yeah, I mean, if we're going to win a game, it seems like we're winning it big. If we're going to lose, we're losing it small. I mean, that's important when it comes to it. And even, you know, you mentioned before, Matt, I'm looking right now at the Canadians who they've lost to this month. This month they lost to the Bruins at the beginning of the month, and the Bruins have been a weird team that are, you know, they're right now in the playoffs. They lost to a very hot Capitals team. They got blown out by Pittsburgh, which isn't great, but they lost to the Jets, another very good team, and then their only other loss was against the Blue Jackets, probably not the best loss they have. They've won all the other games that they have had for the rest of the month. So they're like last 10 doesn't look as impressive as it probably should, especially considering their wins have come against the Bolts, come against the Panthers. You know, they beat Buffalo, who's actually been playing, you know, kind of well.
The short stretch, yeah.
Yeah, in a short amount of time. So, I mean, this was a tough team for some reason. They got a lot of confidence recently, and definitely helped that they played Florida the night before, and this wasn't a pushover team. And even at that, the Lightning, you know, I think that they worked pretty hard and kept the game. The score doesn't really, I don't think, indicate as much push as the Lightning ended up having in different stretches of this game.
Well, it was basically a one-goal game for the most part. You throw those empty netters and the score starts to get a little wonky there. Hey, listen, anytime you can have just three losses in the month of December, which is what the Lightning did, is really, really good. And when it comes to the standings, by the way, it's so hard because the Lightning are still so far back in games played. I know you can look at points percentage to try and even out a little bit. But if the Lightning won all their games in hand right now, which is still a lot, but they would be first in the Atlantic. And they'd be, I think, top four or somewhere in there in the top of teams when it comes to the standings. So they are one of the top teams in the NHL. There's no question about it. They just have to win those games in hand when they come that way. A couple of quick comments here before we move on. Ethan saying literally every 5-on-5 stat is above average. Hey, that's what JVV said he wanted to fix. He has definitely done that. Daniel saying management prioritizes improving 5-on-5 play in the offseason, and so far it looks like it paid off. Yes, absolutely. Like I said, that's what JBB said he wanted to do. Was it the unpopular opinion a little bit at the time? And did it get a little messy? Yeah, it did, but it's definitely worked out. There's no denying that, no question. Power play was an issue early, but it seems as it started to correct itself and has been very, very good over the last month. So that's been great to see.
Even that, it was an issue early because they are having something that looks completely different and they had to figure it out. And guess what? A couple months in, now they've figured it out.
And being able to produce 5-on-5 is, you know, really the biggest thing you can ask for from your hockey team. Where is most of the game played at 5-on-5? Do they call penalties in the playoffs? No, not at all, hardly ever. So they're playing a really good brand of hockey. If they can shore up things on the defense, you know, limit some shots against and maybe a little bit more score, I guess we're scoring fine from the defensive end. But, man, this team is really starting to round into form. If they can clean up some of these things, we're looking dangerous.
And actually, speaking of the defensive end, it'll be a couple of another month and a half when Moser comes back.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that'll help things, too. I think that if you look at the goals against for this Canadiens team, it's pretty much all with Perbix and Lilleberg on the ice, or at least the majority of them. There is one I know that had McDonough and Chernak. Let me make sure that I'm right on this. Yep, McDonough and Chernak on... No, that was in the Rangers game that had them on the ice. Pretty much all of them were Perbix and Lilleberg. And when you get Moser back, that takes pressure off those guys so they don't have to have as much ice time. And when they do, it can be for better matchups. So, guys, I mean, you haven't heard me say this in quite a while. I'm, like, really optimistic for the team that we have, that they're low-key, like, really one of the best teams in the NHL. And a complete package to make a really deep run.
It's funny how different we talk about this team at this time last year versus compared to, you know, a calendar year ago where we were just kind of like, you know, this team might be able to make a push. You know, they're in a wild card spot, just make the playoffs, whoever knows. And now look at us talking about it. We're like, yeah, we're probably a top five team in the league right now. So if fully healthy, when Moser comes back and shore those things up on defense. Oh, man. I like where we're at right now, especially with some of the young guys we have in the pipeline, too. Connor Geeky, you know, he's not perfect, but he plays really, really well. Awesome. He is awesome. He plays really, really well.
He hasn't made that adjustment quite yet, I feel like. But when he does, he could be really, really, really good.
And he's every 35 games into old. Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's what I mean. That's why I said that. Like, he's young. But once he makes that adjustment, it's going to take some time.
Dan, since we're on it. Oh. I was going to say, since we're on it, Dan has a comment that is perfectly relevant right now. Yeah, just saying, so
here's his comment right here. A little over 2 months from the trade deadline, what's on everyone's wish list for that trade deadline? Don't say.
Oh, shut up. Shut up. It's not going to be Bogosian.
It's not Bogosian. We already know where you're going with this. I was going to say a Jeff Blashill firing.
Oh, okay.
I hear there's another coach that previously worked for the Lightning that might be available. No, I don't even think you have to worry about that. You know, if they play the way that they're playing, we're giving up some goals, but the system's working and the guys are getting more used to it. So really, wouldn't it be nice though to have another, I don't necessarily mean Bogosian, but honestly, like Bogosian or a Shen or somebody big back there as a third defensive pairing. A little bit more shut down than what we have, because our guys are a little bit younger, a little bit more wiry, you know, just someone a little bit that would be more solid. Other than that, I'd have to look at the numbers to see if we could actually afford a game changer, you know, that'd be able to step into one of the higher forward lines. But that'd be kind of nice.
Let's see, if you want to make the numbers work, you can make them work. It's a little difficult sometimes, but, you know, where there's a will, there's a way, as the saying goes. I'm with you. You know, like, I think a bottom six, I don't know, bottom six might be the wrong word, bottom pair defenseman, I think, would definitely help out a lot. I would love to see that. I don't know what specific player. I'd have to look at who's available and the numbers and all that, like you were saying, Joe. And maybe a bottom six guy to just kind of shore it up a little bit. Again, it's tough with the Lightning in their situation. I will say this, though. I want to see the Lightning make a move at the trade deadline, no matter what position they're in, because ever since that year that shall not be named, even though we went on to win back-to-back Stanley Cups, that was the biggest mistake I think they ever made, was standing pat at the deadline. Make a move. Make your team better. So I definitely want to see them do something. Minor moves is fine, but I think they should definitely do something.
I think you've definitely seen too that management and JBB has no problem go ahead and leveraging the assets that he has to make a move if he feels like it's what the team needs in order to make a deep run. And that's good progression and maturity from the GM as well, to see that he's, you know, changed a little bit in what he's willing to put up.
This might be an entirely different episode in and of itself, but somebody who was on that 2019 team who I wouldn't mind seeing back in a Bolts jersey is JT Miller. He's, you know, real hot in the talks right now. I don't know.
I thought you were still young and bored.
Hard pass.
Hard pass.
Locker room cancer, man.
I don't know. Things are different in Tampa than they are in Vancouver, man. Vancouver's been a little bit of a swirling ship, lost puppy. You know, I think Tampa has a strong, strong leadership group and a very well put together locker room. Like, we know how these guys, you know, act and operate. And we know that Victor Hedman is, you know, the new leader of the room. But you've also got guys to keep, you know, other guys in check, like Ryan McDonough and even Nikita Kucherov at this point in his career. I think it's a possibility. It's definitely not going to happen, but it's something that I was trying to make work in my head today. It's like, how can we, you know, get the band back together, you know, get objectively a really good power forward back, you know, onto this team, somebody who really has blossomed in Vancouver and might come back to Tampa and be really well. You know, we'll get him in free agency in a couple of years. How about that?
There you go. It might be a little bit easier. Zachary quickly here says both for something like $4.5 million in deadline cap plus something like $900K from whoever they send down. Yeah, numbers, you got to have a degree in cap to figure all this stuff out, and JBB has done a really good job of doing stuff like that when it comes to the trade deadline. I will say this, as we get closer to the trade deadline, we will absolutely be covering that more and more as we get closer. So don't forget, hit that like and subscribe button, ring that bell, follow us on social media, all that fun stuff, so you don't miss out on those episodes when we do get into it closer to the trade deadline. It's something to monitor for the Lightning. It's always a fun time of the year. So don't forget to do that.
shortly, I'd be remiss if I didn't bring it up. And it was one of the things I wanted to make sure I didn't forget. I almost forgot. Guys, if the Lightning are on the ice and the Canadiens are on the ice, play till the whistle. Play till the whistle. Simple as that. And that goes for both teams because almost 1 year to the date, that was the game that there was a puck that was basically dumped on net onto the Canadiens goaltender. They thought it was going to be a TV timeout. Johansson skated to the corner. The whistle never blew, and it was a 200-and-some foot shot into an empty net for the Canadiens. And then same thing, or a similar sort of thing happened, you know, in this game where puck just went underneath the goaltender, but it was completely loose. Whistle never blew, and Kucherov like skated around a bunch of guys, just kind of like peeking his head in, and found pay dirt. Found a puck just kind of sitting there, just flicked it into the back of the net for his goal.
I thought it was funny because the ref was kind of like looking around. He's like, "Is anybody gonna notice this type of deal?" And yeah, Kuch was Johnny on the spot for that. It was really funny, but it was not nearly as funny as that goal from last year. That one is still just crazy how that happened.
But it was apropos, right? It's so
funny. Yes, yes. By the way, when have you ever seen Kucherov come up laughing and giggling like a little girl after scoring a goal? You don't ever see.
I swear he had to have remembered it. Like that absolutely. That's what he was thinking about when he put that in.
Strong possibility. It was definitely a very funny goal. I agree with you, though, Matt. It's definitely not as funny as the one. Well, I mean, it's funny looking back at it now, but boy, that was the craziest goal I think that I've ever seen scored at Amalie Arena. Because that one, you had literally the arena playing the music and the lights were on and everything.
I was at that one sitting behind the net, too. It was behind whoever the Montreal goaltender was for that game.
I was over next to Johansson and watching him skate off. I thought the play was
that's right. You're on the other side.
Oh man, what a moment.
Hey, at least you guys weren't behind the goal that a goalie scored a goal on. I was at a game when that happened.
We've had a lot of funny goalie moments.
Tristan Jarry
over the last couple of years. We really have. But yes, the Charlie Lindgren from the Washington Capitals scoring in his own net. Boy, that would have been probably even better moment, but the Lightning ended up losing that game. So he kind of brushed that one to the side a little bit. But yeah, some fun moments for sure. I do want to get to our three stars of the week, guys, because a lot of players, even though it was a 1-1 week for us when we're talking about just these two games, but some guys that I think definitely stood out and need to be recognized. So let's get into it. Our number three star of the week this time around. It's the guy who, I don't know what it is about his celebrations, any kind of photo that you see of him. He just knows how to look good in front of a camera, and he's playing really good on the ice once again. That is our main man, Brandon Hagel. He gets a third star of the week in the two games, one goal, one assist for 2 points. He was a minus one, but he gets a third star of the week. Fantastic week for him, guys.
As I say, his plus minus doesn't show it, but he was in on the shorthanded goals. He played really well in those penalty killing opportunities that he had, and he's a hustler. And you know, not gonna lie, this week was pretty difficult choosing the three stars. I'd almost would have put Sorelli in there as well. I know Matt had another choice, but with so many guys that did have some pretty decent games. Hagel's a guy that continues to produce, and as we get inch closer and closer to the Four Nations tournament, I just keep thinking about what it's going to be like with him killing penalties there as well, and how
with
much of
Sorelli.
With Sorelli and how much of a threat that ends up being, and it's it was a great week for him.
Yeah, I don't want to cheer for Canada, but I'll cheer for those two and John Cooper and Braden Point. So, just another
basically
great week.
Cheering for Canada.
No. I'll just have a little bit of a soft spot. Just another great week from Brandon Hagel. You know, he just brings it every week. You know exactly what you're going to get from him. I wish we could put Hagel and Sorelli right here. I know I did have somebody else I thought. Vasilevsky could be the third star, but No, very, very deserving of Brandon Hagel here. You know, it's just the status quo with him. I've got nothing really new to say other than he is just a forechecking, penalty-killing power play machine. Good on him for another great week of beautiful Lightning hockey. I'm so glad we have this guy on our team. He's on pace. I don't know what he's on pace for, but he's on pace for a career year. It's amazing that this guy was ever considered to be, I wasn't one of these people, but overpaid to get this guy. It is working out tremendously beautiful.
Remember when I said that I predicted Hagel at 30 goals and everybody was like, what? That's crazy. He's gonna fly by that. He's at 17 goals already on this season. So honestly, my 30 goals prediction was a little bit underwhelming for a couple of years ago. But yeah, he's playing really, really good. He's been such an amazing player. I've absolutely loved him. He's probably one of my favorite Lightning players personally. It's been
no way.
It's been great. Yeah, listen, you know, I know it's a shocking development, but he really has been. You guys give me a hard time about Brandon Hagel. I do love my guy. All right, going to our number two star of the week. This is a guy who doesn't show up on the three stars all that often, but hey, he scored a goal that absolutely blew the roof off of Amalie Arena. I think it was his goal that literally stopped Bally Sports or FanDuel Sports Network from working and crash for a little bit. That's Ryan McDonagh, who scored a fantastic shorthanded goal. It's his first of this season. He was a plus as well in this week. Just great stuff from Ryan McDonagh. One goal plus two in these two games played. Great to have him back on defense.
I'm really glad you, Joe, you were the one that kind of brought him up in our stars list right here, because it was somebody that you brought him up before me. Even if he didn't score the goal, man, he has been playing awesome all year. You know, I can count the amount of just, you know, mistakes, not even costly mistakes, just general mistakes he's made on one hand this year. It is a shame that this guy has not won a Norris. It's a shame that there is no, like, defenseman Norris trophy or anything like that, because he would win it or be a nominee for it year after year. It's amazing what he has done to come back into a team after being gone for 2 years and just restabilize everything and just play the Ryan McDonagh brand of hockey. He's as clutch as it can be and just such a satisfying, stabilizing force on the back end. I can gush and gush and go on about him for hours. He's such an underrated, tremendous player. And then scoring a shorthanded goal on the team that you used to be on and used to be the captain on has got to be a great feeling for Ryan McDonagh. So very, very happy for him to be on our stars list this week.
Yeah, I mean, that was the cherry on top, right? I mean, him scoring his first goal of the season, being a shorthanded goal against his former team. I don't think that gets any more Ryan McDonagh than that, to be honest. Let's see, the Lightning allowed 7 goals in these past 2 games, and he was out there for literally one of them, and it was it honestly was Chernak that completely blew his coverage, allowed a guy wide open in the slot, which was Panarin, to score in that Rangers game. And, you know, Panarin's not going to miss if you allow him wide open in the slot. So he has played really well defensively. He's broke up numerous plays that, there's a few just incredible plays that were odd man rushes that he hustled back for, or that he was already back and then ended up being in the middle. But really also the penalty kill, geez, he's been a beast since the Panthers loss. There's only been one power play, or I guess penalty kill, that he got scored on in those 4 games, with countless penalties, blocking shots. And I mean, that's really just leadership stuff that he's exuding. And I think this week really summarized it well enough to give him that second star. I'm really glad to see him on the list, because I don't even know if he made the list, since we've been doing this podcast all together.
Yeah, I brought up the word consistency with Brandon Hagel, but Ryan McDonagh is the epitome of consistency.
He it's hard for him to get on the stars list sometimes because he's a defenseman and he doesn't score a ton of goals or anything like that, but he's played great and very, very well-deserved second star of the week. No question about that. Now, for our first star, it's a guy that we thought was going to get suspended for a little bit after a questionable, maybe you dirty, thought, maybe not hit against the Florida Panthers. But ladies and gentlemen, He is back. We've always called the Nikita Kucherov three stars of the week, and he is the number one star of the week. Nikita Kucherov, he was fantastic. Very glad he did not get suspended. 2 goals, 2 assists for a total of 4 points, minus one. But again, the plus-minus category can get a little weird. Nikita Kucherov, very well-deserved first star of the week.
Nikita power play points merchant Kucherov had three goals, 2 assists in that game against the Rangers. Two of those power play points were just amazing. He is such a threat out there. And then a goal against Montreal, that cheeky one that we already talked about. He's putting up points. He's doing his work, you know, defensively. Even in that Montreal loss, you know, he was a minus one, but it came down to a lot more than just him in that game, and I like what he's putting out, especially bouncing back after a potential suspension. He came back with some fire under him.
I think you meant to call him Nikita Kucherov. He's the bee's knees. Just a phenomenal player as always. But even though he ended up as minus one, I thought in the Montreal game, he was playing very, very well on the back check. There were a couple of steals he had, but there was one on Patrick Laine. It was kind of on Laine, but also a great thievery by Kucherov. Laine was just kind of toe-dragging the puck, settling the puck, ready to shoot it. Kucherov just out of nowhere comes stick lift, puck goes the other way. Didn't turn into anything. It might have turned into a scoring chance, but that play in my mind, it reminded me so much of a couple weeks ago. I think it was in the Sharks game, maybe, or some big high-scoring game where he just comes down. We were on the power play, puck going the other way. It was a 2-on-1. He comes down, strips the puck, ends up as a goal for Jake Guentzel. It was very similar to that, where he's just so sneaky and thievery. His defensive game, again, he's not going to win a Selkie anytime soon or ever, but he needs to get a little bit more credit for what he does do on the back check, because I think he has finally in his career learned that, you know, if you play well defensively, that turns into offense. You know, the best offense is a great defense. So he just seems to be exuding more and more and more of that every time he plays. So I got nothing really about how good he is offensively. I just wanted to get that out there, how responsible he is starting to play year after year, game after game. So credit to Kucherov there. Very unsurprising that he is our number one star like usual.
Matt, you mentioned thievery. I'll tell you what else is thievery. The amazing priced, awesome merchandise we got over.
Oh, God.
On RBLRSports.com. I got you on that one. It's been a little while. But top.rblrsports.com. You guys can use code BOLTS to get 10% off your order. Check out the awesome Lightning, Rays, Bucks, Rowdies inspired merchandise we have over there for you guys. It's some really cool stuff. Helps out the show. We do appreciate it, and you get a cool shirt out of it. So be sure to go check that out. Links, as always, are in the description. And if you're sick of looking at Wise on jerseys, get some merchandise without some ads on it. Sorry, I had to throw that in there too, because I haven't said anything in a little while, but it's still bothering me. I want that to be known. Anyway,
that was you're saying about stealing pucks, Kucherov. He did that to Laine too, who ended up in the high slot, and he came up behind him and completely pulled the puck away. Right? Did you mention that one, or that's the one you mentioned?
Okay. I think he had one on Dvorak too, but the Laine one was just perfect. It was just
perfectly timed.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I'm not gonna lie. I tuned out for like a quarter of a second when you said his name because of a comment that we had, which I know that people are gonna go nuts if you pull this one up, in the comment section.
I'm assuming you mean this one. So, which meme was worse?
Kucherov or Timo Meier?
Can I go?
Yes. Go, because I just watched the replay and I just sent it to you guys in our Discord chat.
Kucherov's was worse. Neither of them should be 5 minutes. I didn't really get a chance to put my two cents in last week because I was feeling under the weather, but I know Joe, you're in the party of it was a dirty hit, and maybe not crazy, but it was a dirty hit. I'm still of the belief that, man, he was trying to lay a body check, a hip check, whatever you want to call it. It wasn't a knee-on-knee hit, in my opinion. Oh, Jakey, are you watching it? And I don't think the Timo Meier hit was all that dirty. I've only seen one angle of it. I only, came across in my feed, but I didn't think that was worthy of a five-minute major either, too, especially because both the guys that got hit, pardon me, were able to come out for the ensuing power play. So
I'll go one further for you. Both of the guys that got hit put themselves in extremely vulnerable positions, and that's the decide. That's just it. I mean, God, I said it last week, Kucherov could have gone for Kachuk's head, but he kind of didn't. He looked for more of a glancing blow, and Kachuk's leg was still out. Kucherov's knee wasn't extended fully, like he was trying to make primary contact with his knee. It just, the guy got himself in a really bad position, and man, looking at this Meyer replay, Natchez, he tries ducking a check, and then it reminds me of the pinup girls from the 1950s, where there'd be like a girl with one leg, she'd be standing on one leg and the other one would be kind of kicked back and she's looking over her shoulder. That's what his knee does. It just kind of like flicks off to the side with Natchez, and it looks completely unnatural. And I think it's because he tried to avoid the contact, and instead he left his leg out. I don't think it should be a knee penalty at all.
That's the first time I've seen that hit, by the way. That's why I was so get the little reaction out of me.
His knee looks crazy.
It looked nasty. And I know that doesn't feel good at all. Personally, I can kind of see how it's very similar to the Kucherov situation, where, you know, when you look at it, especially when you look at it in slow motion, it doesn't look great because his knee is out a little bit. Anytime you get knee on knee contact, you're trying to avoid that and you don't want it. But, you know, you play that in full speed, not watching it in slow motion. You know, the one guy's cutting to the right and kind of leaning the one way. So, you know, then you give a little more leeway there. I'm kind of in the same boat, I think, again, where I understand why it's a penalty. I'm not surprised, but, you know, is it dirty? No, but not great.
Any game that you play, it's typically about leverage. If you're wrestling, if you're playing football and delivering a hit or playing on the line, I mean, everything's about leverage, and you're not going to get any leverage if you're standing straight up and down. You always have to get low. You have to get low to get more centered, you get more stability, and part of the function with the way the human body works, when you get low, your knee goes out. It's the way it always ends up happening. And if I almost feel like with specifically the Meyer hit, if you look, like, he's like closing his eyes as he's trying to make impact, thinking it's going to be a big hit, and just so happens that the other player kind of moved. Like, I think the incidental ones happen a lot because of just the way you have to position yourself.
Yeah, well, and, you know, to be fair, too, it doesn't happen all the time, so it definitely can be avoided. But, hockey's a fast game. Things are going to happen sometimes. Good news is both those players are okay. I haven't seen any suspensions for either of those guys. So, you know, I think maybe the hockey gods kind of made everything right there. With, you know, Kucherov wasn't suspended. And as far as I know, there was no suspension from that other one as well. It's tough. And again, we're in the world of slow motion, and you can watch it so many times and see it so many different ways. It can get a little more dicey when you start looking at it that way. But good news for the Lightning is Kucherov is still here and still playing some fantastic hockey, and they're going to need his help moving forward as they get ready for a big West Coast road trip. It's their second one of the season so far, upcoming for the Bolts. They got a couple of days off right now for the new year. They will not play again until 2025. And their first game in the new year will be against the San Jose Sharks at 10:30 p.m. Eastern. This is a late game in San Jose. Actually, 10:30. I think that's one of the later games than normal. But get your coffee ready for that one. They take on the Sharks in San Jose. And then on Saturday, January 4th, they'll take on the Los Angeles Kings at 9 p.m. Eastern. So a little bit earlier, but still later. And then the Anaheim Ducks.
I think we can do better.
What's that?
I think we can do a little bit better. Can I get a little bit better of a start time for the next game?
You can, and you can indeed, with the 8 p.m. Eastern game against the Anaheim Ducks. So, you know, that one only an hour later. So that's nice. At least they get a little bit better as this one rolls on. But a brutal one to start this road trip. So a West Coast road trip coming up for the Bolts. And again, you've got the three teams of the Sharks, Kings, and Ducks. Kings and Ducks are a back-to-back, but at least close when it comes to travel time. So on paper, a road trip, maybe the Lightning you'd hope to see win majority of, but anytime you go out on the West Coast, it always gets a little more difficult, and always having a back-to-back never makes things easier.
Well, I got to apologize to you guys, because what I wished for Christmas was a back-to-back game every single week, and looks like Santa's delivering with a back-to-back game every single week from the time Christmas happens until the end of January.
You know, see, this is what gets me going. Like, I've been talking about this for a while and how the NHL, and I don't understand the scheduling, why the Lightning always behind in games played. This is why. Now they got to pay for it in all these darn back-to-back games. I mean, why? Why?
Why? Hey, we did why? Luck our
like
way.
Our jersey ad. Why?
We did also luck our way out of one back-to-back.
We did.
With the Carolina game. So, you know, we can be a little grateful there. But there still is a lot of back-to-backs this month. This is where, you know, we're going to, you know, catch up in the games played category. The only issue is you got to win those games for it to really, you know, matter. So hopefully, you know, you got two pretty crappy teams in this coming week in the Sharks and the Anaheim Ducks. The Kings are actually playing really good hockey right now, so that's going to be a team to watch. But hopefully I can just, you know, watch the first period of that Sharks game and wake up to another 8-goal game by the Lightning that Joe just hated. Hopefully.
Yeah, fair.
Hopefully.
Go ahead, Jake.
I was going to say, I just noticed this, by the way. This is looking way ahead in the month of January, but the 19th to the 25th, the Lightning have four games that week. There are two back-to-backs in the same week.
What?
Yes, so the Lightning play the Leafs on the 20th, they play the Canadiens on the 21st, then they have 2 days off, and then they play the Blackhawks on the 24th and the Red Wings on the 25th. They have two back-to-backs in the same week. I don't understand this schedule. But anyway, that's a little while ahead, and we'll get to more on that.
Why take more days when less day do same job?
I don't know, Joe. It's a great question, and we may never know the answer.
So yeah, so the back-to-back, the back-to-back portion is going to be tough. Like that aspect of the schedule is definitely something to contend with, but there are a number of teams on here that are relatively weak that we should have, if all goes well, we should be able to have our way with. And there's a real possibility based on the current standings and based on this upcoming schedule that by the end of this month of January, the Lightning could be at the top of the conference.
Top of the conference is crazy. You know, let's take baby steps here and try to, go top of the division. I know Washington, I think they're still top of the conference here, aren't they?
I think it's
I'm pretty sure it's Washington, but regardless, you know, we do have a good situation in front of us. I'd rather be, you know,
the division, we're only 4 points away. From the top of the conference, it's 11. So I was kind of going for a bit of a more of a stretch to go that way. Yeah, I think 4 points division away
from the top of the division.
42 for the Lightning with 34 games played. 7 more games played for the Maple Leafs with 46. So 46, 42.
Wow.
The Lightning can definitely make up those games. Like, it's only a couple of wins, and they're right there with everybody else. So it's definitely possible. Can they do it in the month of January? We'll have to wait and see, but they're definitely on track to do that. One more comment here before we get ready to wrap things up here from Daniel. Sharks are a good young team. Haven't the Lightning struggled in that barn? I don't know. Recently. I'd have to look up the stats in San Jose. We did just beat the Sharks 8-1, so you would hope that would kind of carry over and they would be able to play good against them. Lightning have struggled with bad teams sometimes, but listen, anytime you're on the West Coast and playing at 10:30, things can get a little dicey. So it's hard to say. Joe, are you looking that up right now?
Trying to.
Because I think if I remember correctly, the last time they played there, they did win. I think it was a closer game, but they did get the win at the end of it. Because didn't they beat the Sharks in overtime?
I remember there was a game a couple of years ago. Victor Hedman opened up the scoring.
I don't like that face that I just saw from
no, just the last time that we played. Oh, that's okay. Never mind. I'm sorry. This was listed backwards. I was looking at 1992.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Like, that doesn't sound familiar.
No, there was a game a couple of years ago. It wasn't last year, it was the year before. Victor Hedman opened up the scoring within like the first 30 seconds of the game, and like a minute later, Erik Karlsson scored because, you know, those two are buddies. And it was a really close game up until like the final like 10 seconds of the game. Kucherov walked it off. I remember that. I'm pretty sure it was Kucherov. I don't think we really have historical struggles in that building, at least not over the last 5 years or so, however long the Sharks have been garbage.
If I'm reading this correctly, this can't be right. Have they played 10 games in San Jose? 5-5?
I mean, that doesn't sound accurate for all time, but at least for, let's see, I see 1, 2, 3 on this list for the last 3 years. Lightning.
I found it.
Okay.
It's 13-10-1 all time away.
That's pretty good.
For the Lightning. So, yeah, I don't know if I'd call that a struggle. It's not.
In the last 7, the Lightning have lost once.
Okay. Wow. There you go. There you go. So, Daniel, I think I know what you're thinking of, though. The Lightning do tend to struggle against some of the bottom teams sometimes. They've done that a lot this year. So hopefully that doesn't continue. Hopefully they continue the great winning streak that they've had in San Jose, as Joe just mentioned. But no matter what happens, we'll be right here next week to recap it all for you guys. So don't forget to hit that like and subscribe button. Ring that bell for notifications. Hit that share button if you did enjoy this episode. It really helps us out, and we really do appreciate it. But with that said, guys, that'll do it for us this one. We'll talk to you next time. Go Bulls.
Happy New Year.
See you next year.
Thank you for tuning into this presentation by RBLR Sports. On your way out of the stadium, please remember to like and subscribe.